Two Alaska state troopers were shot during a prolonged standoff in Kotzebue yesterday. The incident ended when officers approached the vehicle hours after the initial shooting and found the suspect, Arvid Nelson Jr. of Kotzebue, had taken his own life. The Kotzebue Police Department responded to the call early yesterday morning of Nelson brandishing a weapon at a civilian after his truck had run into a guardrail on a road just east of town. Trooper spokesperson Beth Ibsen says Kotzebue Police Department then called on the troopers for help.
We responded back up to the KPD officers and immediately was shot at from the vehicle by the suspect. There was some return gunfire. There was a bit of a gunfire exchange, and two troopers were struck during that exchange.
Ibsen says both of the injured officers returned fire. One trooper was struck in the lower part of his body. He was medevaced to Anchorage, where Ibsen says he is in stable condition. It's unclear how the other trooper was injured, if he was grazed by a bullet or hit by shrapnel, but he began bleeding from the head and was taken to the Kotzebue Clinic and shortly released. The standoff continued when Nelson barricaded himself in his vehicle around noon. The area was cordoned off and the city's airport was closed to non-emergency traffic. Troopers called in the South Central Special Emergency Reaction Team, or SERT. Ibsen says there was contact with Nelson around midday.
They had talked to him earlier in the day around noon, so somebody did talk to him. You know, it didn't happen right after the initial gunfire exchange.
Neither the Kotzebue Police Department nor the troopers would provide details of the standoff as it progressed into the evening. Ibsen says the SERT team did arrive on the scene but would not comment on how they were involved. The standoff ended around 6 o'clock yesterday when troopers and officers approached Nelson's truck and found him deceased from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Ibsen says troopers with the Alaska Bureau of Investigation are flying to Kotzebue to take over the investigation. Because of both officers returning fire, Ibsen says the names of the troopers injured during the initial shooting are being withheld for 72 hours as per department policy. The Kotzebue Airport was reopened to air traffic around 6 o'clock last night. Here in Juneau, a man has been arrested for allegedly stabbing three people early Friday morning at the Super 8 Motel on Trout Street. The victims were treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. According to a statement from the police department, their names and conditions were not released. Officers say about 10 people were partying in a room in the motel early Friday morning when a fight broke out just after 1:30. A 25-year-old man was stabbed twice in the torso. A 32-year-old man received a 3-inch cut to his right forearm, and a 22-year-old woman had a superficial cut to her left hand. Witnesses say 32-year-old Charles Allen Abbott was responsible for the attack. He and a 23-year-old woman were detained near the motel. The woman turned over a bloody knife to officers who placed Abbott under arrest. He's being charged with one count of assault in the second degree and two counts of assault in the third degree. He was booked at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on no bail. Police say alcohol was involved in the incident, which remains under investigation. The National Park Service says it has permanently suspended efforts to recover the bodies of four Japanese climbers killed in an avalanche on Denali. A National Park Service spokesperson said that a team of 10 searchers reached the likely location of the climbers on Saturday and that a mountaineering ranger lowered himself into the same crevasse that the party's one survivor fell into. The ranger probed beneath avalanche or through avalanche debris about 100 feet beneath the glacier's surface and found a broken rope that matched that of the Japanese team. The risk of ice falling made it too dangerous to keep digging. Rangers also say the avalanche occurred early Wednesday morning, not Thursday. The only survivor, 69-year-old Hitoshi Ogi, reached a base camp to report the avalanche Thursday afternoon. A tugboat captain has been sentenced to 6 months home confinement in a case involving a diesel fuel spill of over 6,400 gallons in Prince William Sound. His vessel ran aground on the same reef as the tanker Exxon Valdez struck in 1989. Federal prosecutors say Ronald Munson of Anchorage was playing computer games and checking his email as the Crowley Marine Tug Pathfinder headed toward Bligh Reef in December of 2009. Prosecutors say Munson's sentencing Friday was based on his guilty plea for violating the Federal Clean Water Act. Munson will serve his home confinement as part of a 3-year probation period. He also was ordered to pay a $15,000 fine and serve 50 hours of community service. A U.S. Army Reserve landing craft that spilled thousands of gallons of diesel fuel off of Kodiak has been refloated. The 174-foot Monterey was beached on nearby Puffin Island June 8th after it hit a charted rock just offshore from downtown Kodiak. Ty Keltner with the State Department of Environmental Conservation said the Monterey was moored Friday at a Kodiak dock to offload deck cargo. He says all fuel has been removed from the vessel's two damaged tanks, but oil booms are in place just in case. The state says temporary repairs will be made to the vessel so it can be moved to a shipyard for permanent repairs at a later date. State officials estimate between 8,000 and 12,000 gallons of fuel had spilled. So far, there has been no reports of damaged wildlife or environment. Five people reported safe after their fishing vessel began taking on water over the weekend. A Coast Guard H-60 helicopter hoisted the five from a skiff yesterday after the 56-foot Scandia began taking on water in Shelikov Strait. A C-130 aircraft was also launched to assist in the operation. Chief Petty Officer Jeffrey Roberto of the Coast Guard says the five were taken back to Kodiak with no injuries reported. They had donned survival suits before they abandoned ship. A Good Samaritan vessel took the Scandia in tow and anchored it up near Uyak Bay. The five crew members made their way back to the Scandia, but they could not control the flooding, and it sank in 600 feet of water. It's unclear why the vessel began taking on water in the first place. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough is moving forward with plans to develop a new moorage facility to accommodate Alaska Marine Highway System vessels, as well as the NOAA research ship Fairweather. Layla Carey has more on the story.
Under federal mandate, Ketchikan is the home port of the Fairweather, an Arctic hydrographic survey vessel for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But Ketchikan doesn't have suitable moorage for such a vessel, so the community has lost out on hosting the crew of 48 for 6 months each year. The Fairweather instead has spent its winters in Oregon, where it undergoes repairs while the crew trains and prepares for the next season. To bring the Fairweather here and to improve facilities for state ferries, the legislature and Governor Sean Parnell approved a $7.5 million grant to the borough to help fund a pre-development report for the project. The report will provide a conceptual design and a cost estimate for the entire project and should be done by November. The borough assembly is scheduled to accept the grant on Monday. A draft agreement with the state calls for any leftover grant funds to go toward construction. Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst says a moorage facility could cost up to $30 million, but that number is speculative. He says the borough is working cooperatively with the state to get started on planning.
The fact that it was appropriated as a grant to the borough is a reflection that the governor and the legislature have confidence in the ability of the borough to move the project along. It's a very important project for the community in terms of bringing the NOAA Fairweather back to Ketchikan as its home port and expanding the capacity of the Alaska Marine Highways system here in Ketchikan.
Bockhorst says that if the Fairweather returns to Ketchikan, it could make a big difference economically.
I cannot put a dollar figure to that, but while it's in port, the ship undergoes repairs that could be accomplished here in Ketchikan and training and outfitting and whatnot. So the economic impact, say, it's fair to judge that it would be substantial.
The new facility, which will be owned and operated by the state once it is complete, also will be used for layup and maintenance of state ferries. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.